Welcome back to the show here on World Football Daily. We are at Ground Central, as I said yesterday, for the Copa del Rey final. We're in the heart of Madrid, down near Plaza Mayor, and I'm delighted to say that I am in the office, so to speak, of Goal.com's very own Ben Hayward joining me here today. Ben, how you doing, mate?
I'm good, Ollie, thanks. How about you?
I'm very well. It's nice to be out and about and not just stuck in the UK covering this sort of thing. But, you know, it's a lovely office you've got here, I have to say. There's tea, there's coffee, there's nice waitresses. It's not a bad place to do your work, mate.
This is, I was in Madrid about 3 weeks ago for the Champions League semi-final, second leg against Dortmund. And I probably spent about 6 hours here, so... Yeah, I must admit, in Madrid, I'm not so familiar with the Wi-Fi places, but this is definitely one of my hangouts, yeah.
And you obviously get the delightful background noise that you can hear as well of the fresh coffee being ground, and there's plenty to talk about today in terms of not just the Copa del Rey final, but the finale of La Liga and the retirement of David Beckham as well. Let's start. I don't want to start with it because I hate talking about David Beckham, but let's start briefly about the impression that Spanish football has of David Beckham after his time in Madrid and what they'll be saying about his retirement in Spain.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it's a favourable impression that they have in Spain of Beckham. I definitely think, you know, he was a popular player here. He was a player that when he came in, there was a lot of cynicism. There was a lot of people saying that he was here only to sell shirts. And you know, obviously... that was true. That was a big part of the reason for his signing. We know that, you know, Florentino Perez was very much about getting big name players in who could, you know, boost merchandising, shirt sales, you know, and bring extra income into the club. But, you know, I think Madrid fans have a lot of respect for Beckham because he was a guy who gave his all for the club. He was a hard worker. He tracked back. He played in a lot of different positions. You know, and he gave his all when perhaps some of the other Galacticos weren't doing so.
And he was... you compared the style that Beckham plays and how he played in Madrid to the style they're playing now. I mean, it's worlds apart in terms of... Beckham wouldn't really, do you think, be able to play in this current Real Madrid side because of the space and the pace they use down the flanks. It was very much a kind of a sit deep and orchestrate things, if you will, for Beckham in that Madrid side.
Yeah, he's never really had the pace, has he, to be probably so effective in a counter-attacking side like this Madrid team now. But with the quality of his deliveries and his crossing, you know... I think he'd be good enough to play some kind of part in this team for sure.
It would be interesting to see if Beckham, maybe, you know, 6 years ago, would be able to play in this Madrid side, a Madrid side that are playing tonight in the Copa del Rey final against Atletico Madrid. The rivalry between these two sides, obviously huge, and the importance of this game as well tonight for both clubs. I mean, the storylines coming out of this one are all over the place. You can talk about Falcao and Mourinho. Which is the all-important storyline for this game tonight?
I think, you know, in a way, Mourinho is out of the news in that he's, you know, he didn't turn up yesterday for the press conference. He let Sergio Ramos, you know, do that, speak to the press. And, you know, it's kind of all about the players, this one, isn't it? And, you know, I think the players, you know, things that clearly aren't good. We're heading for a kind of a summer separation between Mourinho and Madrid and the players. You know, things haven't been going well. There have been fallouts with pretty much every player you can think of. There was a report a while back that only three players were unconditionally behind Mourinho. And they were Essien, Modric and Diego Lopez. Coincidentally, who've all, you know, because of Mourinho, who've all had their dream move to Madrid. So, yeah, it's an interesting one, but it's a final, and they'll want to win it. And I think they're sticking together. You know, they went out, the players all went out for lunch earlier in the week, without Mourinho, tellingly perhaps. But the message is unity and is of sticking together, and it's a final, you know, and they want to win it.
Is it a believable message of unity, though, when we've seen so many separations between maybe the Portuguese players and the Spanish players in that side, and the controversy of Casillas being left out, and you know, many people have still backed Diego Lopez in that squad, but also have said Casillas, you know, should arguably be playing. Do you buy that this club is united within the squad, not just the squad against Mourinho?
I think they are. I think they can unite for this game. You know, let's not forget that Real Madrid still have the better of the two teams. And, you know, Simeone was asked yesterday, what's the difference between Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid? And he said, €400 million, which is probably about right, you know. So still on paper, this is a game they should win. And I think that once they go out there, they'll play as best they can. I mean, Mourinho's on the sidelines. He plays his part, obviously. He's prepared them for this. But they'll want to win this match for themselves, for their own pride, to salvage something from this season. And they're professionals and they're great players. So I think they can, you know, it's a one-off match and it's a derby. I don't think you need any more motivation than that.
And salvaging the season is something that's been referred to a lot in the build-up to this game, and Mourinho salvaging his final year as well. His time hasn't brought everything that was expected or that Madrid hoped. Does this winning today, would that be some sort of a goodbye, or would it still be a little bit of bad blood surrounding Mourinho and this club?
Well, you know, he'll probably come out and say that he's, you know, been successful. He hasn't been unsuccessful. It's fine lines, isn't it? You know, he's won a Copa del Rey. Obviously, they won La Liga last season, and that was very impressive. And you expected them to kind of kick on from that. You know, obviously, he signed a new long-term deal last summer, and the idea was to really kick on and build on that. And then they went and they won the Supercopa, and everything looked great. But this season has been one problem after another. I mean, started very, very badly. They seemed to lack motivation at the beginning of the season. I think with Guardiola leaving Barcelona, I certainly feel that Mourinho didn't quite motivate his players as he did last season. And they just fell so far behind so quickly in La Liga. We've seen a lot of players off form. We've seen bust ups, fallouts. Even so, the second half of the season has gone pretty well. I mean, their league form has been really good. They put together a really good run in the Champions League, and they just kind of fell short. And they've been good in the Copa. You know, they beat Barcelona in the semi-finals. But still, three Champions League semi-finals when he was brought in really to win La Decima, to win the Champions League. Three semi-finals is good, but it's not quite good enough.
And it's not what people remember you for. It's if you lift it or not, second place gets you nothing. Second place favourites, if you will, for tonight's game, Atletico Madrid. They've got story tales of their own in this one. You've got Simeone, a former winner of this trophy with the club, managing against a Madrid side that Atletico have a shocking result, a run of form against at the moment in the head-to-head battles. And you've got the potential or inevitable departure of Falcao as well. On the Falcao part, what would it mean for him to leave this club with a big trophy and a big scalp against Madrid tonight?
I think it would mean a lot. You know, it's a big game. It's a huge game to finish with, a derby. You know, to win a derby and all that it means in the city of Madrid against Real Madrid, you know, would be fantastic for that team and for Falcao in particular. And also because if you look at their recent record in a fixture, I mean, Atletico haven't won a derby since 1999. You know, I mean, I wrote an article a while back on, you know, how the world's changed since Atletico last beat Real Madrid in a derby. You know, Spain was still using the peseta back then. It was a very different place. You know, Falcao's been successful at Atletico. He's scored a load of goals. Obviously, he's inspired them to win the Europa League, to win the Super Cup, you know, to round it off with the Copa del Rey. I think that'd be a very satisfactory 2 years in Spain for him.
And the potential departure of Falcao, has, some people have said, have led to maybe a slight change in style for Atletico in the second half of the season, playing maybe to Diego Costa's strengths a lot more. Do you see them reverting to a style that plays to Falcao's strengths tonight, or do they continue with what they've been doing in the second half of the season, playing that slightly more direct football that Costa enjoys?
Well, I think that initially they were playing to Falcao's strength, but he was their main man, wasn't he? And they were really everything was kind of set up for him to be the main kind of target man. But Diego Costa's been in excellent form. I mean, love him or hate him, he's a handful, isn't he, for the opposition defences. And he causes problems. He's on the limit every single game, or probably on the verge of a red card every single game. But he's a physical presence, and he's a goal scorer, and he's very, very determined. And I think they'll look to utilise both players tonight.
Is that a man who can take Atletico forward, say if they get the 60 million that they're asking for and have been offered by clubs like Monaco for Falcao? Do they go and buy a new goal scorer, or do they base this attack now around Diego Costa for the future?
Well, I think Diego Costa's great, but I think you need to replace Falcao. I mean, this is one of the world's top five players for me, and you know, he'll leave a big void there. Just the not just his goals, but just his whole influence, his whole presence. I think they need to replace him. And actually, if you look at Atletico, they've been very good at replacing their strikers. They've had lots and lots of top strikers. You know, even go back to the 80s with Hugo Sanchez. You know, more recently, Forlan and Agüero. Obviously, Falcao, and you know, some other guys like Julio Salinas. You know, top strikers, and they'll have the money to be able to bring in another one, and you know, they always seem to be able to find a big name striker out there, so I'm sure they'll go out and buy one.
Now, it is a Madrid derby tonight, and the game's obviously in Madrid, in the Santiago Bernabeu. It's maybe playing into the advantage of Madrid slightly, Real Madrid, for this one, being in your home stadium for a cup final that's meant to be on neutral ground. Do you see that being a bit of a handicap for Atletico tonight?
You would think so, but actually, you know, if you look at it historically, you know, Atletico Madrid have won the Copa del Rey 9 times, and actually 8 of those wins were at the Bernabeu, and 3 of those finals were against Madrid. In fact, they've met in 3 finals. Sorry, they met in 4 finals, and the 3 that Atletico have won have all been at the Bernabeu. So in that respect, even though that they haven't won a derby for so long, you know, for 14 years, if you go back a little bit further, I mean, the home advantage, I'm not sure it will be such a factor. Also because, you know, it's not a normal home game for Real Madrid. There's going to be 30,000 Atletico fans in that stadium tonight, and they can make a lot of noise. I bet you they'll be making a lot more noise than the Madrid fans.
Well, even the tourist guides are saying that the Vicente Calderón is a better stadium to watch football in for atmosphere than the Bernabeu, so I've no doubt about that. When you look at the setup for the final tonight, where can Atletico expose Madrid? We've seen them be sloppy at set pieces throughout this season. Is there anywhere else that is a weak link that can be exploited by Falcao and co tonight?
Well, I think if you look at the defence, obviously Varane is sidelined with a knee problem that he picked up against Espanyol, and that could potentially be huge. I mean, will Mourinho play Pepe? Pepe obviously came out and criticised Mourinho after the win against Valladolid recently. He said that he should have shown more respect to Casillas, and you know, Pepe's been kind of punished internally since then, and it looks like we may see Pepe on the bench tonight. You know, Pepe himself has had his problems against Dortmund. He was exposed. He was culpable for 3 of those 4 goals in Germany, and but I still think he's probably a better option than Albiol, and it looks like we might see Albiol tonight. So I think defensively, Madrid might not be as solid as we've seen them. And I still think the fullback positions is where they can also be a little bit vulnerable. So I think Atletico have a lot of, you know, strong forward players. and I think they can cause the fullbacks problems, and Albiol and or you know, and or Pepe. Yeah.
Just a last couple on the Copa del Rey final before we move on to a little bit of La Liga action. Of course, Pellegrini's move to potential move to Manchester City as well. You've got the Copa del Rey, and a number of people have said this year that it's not exactly the draw that it used to be, the Copa del Rey. It's not considered a very important competition by a lot of the fans. Does tonight's game, the fact that it's, you know, Atletico against Real in the Bernabeu, does that add more to it and make it more of a spectacle? And the pressures surrounding people like Mourinho and Falcao, does that brought the Copa del Rey back slightly from the brink?
I think it has. I mean, I still think it's a massive tournament for the rest of the clubs probably in Spain. Maybe not so much for Barcelona and Real Madrid. They have kind of bigger priorities. But Madrid have missed out on La Liga this season. There's no Champions League. It's a trophy and you want to win it. Obviously, 2 years ago when they beat Barcelona in the final, they hadn't won it for about 19 years. And there was definitely a real kind of aura surrounding it then for Madrid. And I think it was certainly thought at that time that it was hoped that they'd kind of gone to bigger things. And, you know, they did with La Liga, as we've mentioned. But with this season going as it has and La Liga gone and the Champions League gone, I definitely think that they'll want to win it. And it's Mourinho's kind of his last tango, really, isn't it, in Madrid? So I think it's a big one. And being a derby, I mean, it's a huge, huge game for Atletico as well.
It's not exactly poured out onto the streets yet with the fans, but where tonight will the celebrations be? Which fountain will be hosting the celebrations this evening?
Which fountain? Actually, it's interesting because the two Madrid sports papers today both led with a similar front cover story, and it was like the battle between Cibeles and Neptuno, the two fountains, which are only actually 400 meters apart. One of them will be celebrating tonight in the cold and in the rain, but whoever it is, they're not going to care because they'll be happy.
Score prediction for tonight, though, Ben?
Well, it's sorry to say for Atletico, but I really think it's going to be hard. It's 14 years without beating Madrid, and since Mourinho's been at Real, they've lost 8 from the last 8. You know, in the two league fixtures we've seen this season, both times we've heard before the game, this is going to be the one when Atletico do it. And then, you know, at the Bernabeu, they were disappointing. And then, you know, a few weeks ago, Madrid had other things on their mind. They were preparing for Dortmund. They were playing with reserve players. So people said, this is going to be the one. And they took the lead, and it wasn't. So they kind of have to overcome that mental barrier, and I'm not sure they can. I'm going to go for a 3-1 win for Real.
Convincing 3-1 win as well there from the sounds of it, Ben. Just moving on to elsewhere in La Liga, tomorrow night, Getafe take on Valencia in a big battle for the Champions League spots for next season. Them and Sociedad are equal points, and a number of people surprised by how Sociedad's season has gone this year. Have you been caught maybe off guard slightly about how well Sociedad have played and being able to stay up in that Champions League contention?
Yeah, I've certainly been pleasantly surprised by their form, and they showed signs of it last season. It's a great story. I mean, I think they're overshadowed last season by Athletic Bilbao, who had a great season of their own. They reached, obviously, the two finals and played some wonderful football. But Real Sociedad have been working quietly behind the scenes as well, and they've more low-key, but they've got a great youth system. They've got a lot of homegrown players there, and a lot of good players they've identified, like Griezmann, for example, who when they signed him wasn't a star, but he's going to, he's been excellent these last few seasons, and he's going to be a big part of the France's future as well. So I think a good youth system, a good signing policy, they've been a breath of fresh air this season.
And Valencia, on the other hand, the side that almost expect Champions League football at the beginning of the year, it to be there at the season finale. How big a loss would this be for them to miss out on Champions League football? Should Real Sociedad pip them to that final spot?
I think it'll be huge. It'll be a huge loss for Valencia, and you know, for their fans, who've obviously Valencia fans are some of the most demanding fans in Spain. I mean, you know, if consecutive third place finishes aren't good enough for them, then missing out on the Champions League is going to be even worse. But I think that the really important thing is going to be, you know, the ramifications of missing out on the Champions League. Valencia are still a club with big economic problems and big financial problems. And I think that if they miss out on the Champions League, what I've been told is that they're going to have to raise 20 to 25 million in player sales this summer. And, you know, we've already seen over the last few seasons, even when they've been in the Champions League, they've sold David Villa, David Silva, Mata, Jordi Alba last summer. It's just one you know, high-profile departure after another. There aren't so many stars left now at Valencia, and if they have to raise 20 to 25 million more this summer, that's not good news, is it?
It's going to be absolutely shredding that team down. Another team that could be shredded down to its bare bones as well could be Malaga this year. Even if they finish in a Europa League place, probably won't be allowed to play in Europe next season. And without Pellegrini as well, it's going to be a real tall ask for Malaga to retain the players like Isco and even players like Joaquim and Santa Cruz as well.
Yeah, it's such a great story, the Malaga story, isn't it? And now it seems like it's already coming to an end, which is very sad. You know, because you know, they're on the verge of that semi-final place in the Champions League. It was just, they were great to watch. You know, the fans at the stadium, there was such a great atmosphere there, and you know, a very likable team, played nice football, and it's all coming to an end. And Pellegrini, I think, is going to be a big loss for them. They're going to struggle to find another coach like him, and you know, if the reports are true and he's going to take Isco with him, then yeah, that's not good. But if they're not in the Champions League, then they're going to need to raise some money as well. It makes you wonder what the future is. And if they lose those two, they lost Casola last summer. Okay, they've done really well since his departure. How they bounce back from these losses is going to be key to the next few years.
Pellegrini's been almost known as a nearly man. He got the record points total with Madrid, but didn't win that La Liga title. He went so close with Villarreal as well in terms of Champions League success and missing out with them. And now with Malaga, he came close to that semi-final but couldn't quite get them over the finishing line when they seemed to have their foot in the door. Do you think Pellegrini brings that weight on his shoulders to Manchester City?
I don't know. I certainly think that that's a little bit of a harsh tag. I mean, certainly there were problems at Real Madrid. He probably didn't have the sway or the influence that he would have wanted. I know that the players left that he wanted to keep. All right, I know that they spent a lot of money that summer. You know, they bought Cristiano Ronaldo and Kaká and Benzema and so on. But the team was still a little bit light on defenders. And certainly he wanted to keep the likes of Schneider and Robin, and probably didn't have as much say as he wanted. You know, there was this great quote that he came out with after he left, saying, you know, it's all very well having you know, the 10 best guitarists in the world, but you can't have an orchestra without a pianist, you know, something like that. Every team needs balance, and I think given more time at Madrid, he would have done a very, very good job. And certainly at Malaga and at Villarreal, he's overachieved with those teams. He's taken them far. And, you know, it's the first Champions League campaign for each side in Europe, first Champions League campaign, to get Villarreal to the semi-finals and on the verge of the final, remember. If it hadn't been for that missed penalty by Riquelme, you know, then who knows? And with Malaga, again, so close, you know, before losing out like that to Dortmund. So I'm not sure if he's a nearly man. I think, you know, given the right conditions, your money to spend and time, I think he could do very, very well at Manchester City.
be interesting to see how much of the Spanish continental flair he can bring to City and if he can keep those egos under control. Ben, it's been an absolute pleasure to have a chat, as I say, in your office. Maybe not your hometown of Barca, but it's a wonderful place to come and do work. And I think we're all here extremely jealous of how you do, mate. Thanks a lot for the brief talk.
Pleasure. Take care. Enjoy your weekend.
Cheers. Ben Hayward there from Goal.com joining us here on World Football Daily. We're going to be back after this very brief break. And when we return, we'll be playing a little bit of I Know the Score on the Premier League fixtures with the final weekend of the English season almost upon us. We'll be back after this brief musical interlude from Rafa Gonzalez.